Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And we know what that means. Time once again to do a little car talk. Car Care on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Denny Long here. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Let me introduce you to Nick Stoffel. Nick is an ASC certified technician. He runs a great place, a fun place, at least for those of us who can just visit there. And I know it's fun for the guys working there, too. Lloyd's Automotive is the place we're talking about. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's this past week?
As you can imagine, everybody is ramping up for the holiday weekend and getting out of school. So we have a lot of cars in the lot, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Then you're going to crank them out and all of that, and it starts again the next day. If you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, whatever the case may be, and you need to bring it in for service, what Nick does is he gives you a little analysis over the radio about what could be wrong. It's always good to have more information than less. So if you have those issues, you don't have to be some ace mechanic or gearhead, as we say. If you drive a car and have problems, give us a call or a text. Just one number. You can either call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, we always like to say this, do this earlier rather than later. Nick, our time goes by so quickly, and Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So let's hear from you. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. You know, we're talking about graduation, Nick, this time of year, among other things, the weddings as well. But from time to time, we talk about people who you kind of give them a suggestion, if not advice, that if you're going to buy a used car, see if you can't bring it in for an exam from a good shop like yours. Do people do that from time to time, Nick, there at Lloyd's?
Yes, they do. And I would say if you're going to buy a used vehicle, especially with the prices of used vehicles, you definitely need to have it assessed. You know, that way you know, you know, get a second opinion, someone get some eyes on it. You can, you know, look at the records and see what they said had been done. But then when you can have somebody confirm those items, it gives you a little more confidence. Also, it helps you with if there's something that, you know, unfortunately, oftentimes when people are selling a car is because something is wrong with it, and they may not share all of that with you. So have somebody take a look, maybe find a couple of those things, help you with negotiating on a price and make sure it's the right car for you.
About how long does this exam, if I can use that word, take for a customer?
Usually once we have the vehicle inside the shop, it takes about an hour. Obviously, you know, you might need to leave the vehicle longer. You know, most places are quite busy these days, so you might have to leave it for several hours. But I would think the inspection itself should take about an hour.
Oh, okay. Not bad at all. Now, if somebody who's selling a vehicle says, no, I don't think I want to let you take a look at that. That might be it might be a red flag, right?
Yeah, you know, even with some of these smaller dealerships that don't want you to take it to your person, have it looked at, they had their own guy look at it. You know, I would pause and question and ask why. You know, I respect the fact they don't want the cars all going all around town, but if you're very serious about it, and this is the final decision part of it, I think it's fair to say you should have your people look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, here's our phone number. It's a text number as well, 651-461-9226. A question, I have to narrow it down here, and I don't think I even looked this up. Well, I know I didn't because I'm going to ask you about it. If somebody was asking a question about a torque converter, what is a torque converter and what does it do? I should know this.
Well, you probably do know it. The torque converter is kind of the clutch, we'll call it. You know, not literally, but kind of serves kind of like a clutch with a manual transmission. It allows the car to be in gear and not move. So it allows it to slip. You know, once the engine's RPMs, you know, the engine speeds up, the transmission speeds up, and that converter will then engage and get us going down the road. So it's kind of a slip mechanism by design. It also helps with the way the car shifts and the way it kind of goes smoothly down the road. So it's on the front of the transmission, between the transmission and the engine. It has a turbine that spins inside of it that has the fluid flowing through it. Once it hits the right RPM, it'll engage and get us moving.
So, okay, it's part of the transmission. I should know that. But I didn't. Thank you for that. And thanks to the listener for bringing that up. Again, 651-461-9226. Spark plugs. Are there differences? And can I do this myself, changing spark plugs? Texter wants to know.
Absolutely are differences. I strongly believe if you replace them, you need to put the exact same spark plug back in. I understand you can go to a parts store and they might say, oh, this is the same kind or similar. I feel very strongly because over the years we've seen issues. There's a lot more than a spark plug than what you can see. So I would say depending on what brand it is, you know, if you have it out of the vehicle, you can see this the label on it. There's a part number on it. The new one needs to match it exactly. And there are lots of different brands and lots of different fitments. So be very careful. Make sure it's the exact one. And can you do it yourself? Maybe. Some vehicles are very accessible, and some vehicles, unfortunately, you need to take like the intake manifold off, which can be in a very extensive process and procedure that requires a lot of specialty tools. So read up on it, maybe get the manual, you know, do your research first before you dig into it. And if you feel comfortable doing it, by all means, I think more of our listeners would try doing some of the simpler tasks. But if you don't have the tools, I would probably advise you to find help.
You know, we have touched on this subject from time to time over the years here on the show. What are some of the negative, not negatives, but downfall? I mean, if what do you have to be careful of something that doesn't happen? You don't want to happen.
Well, you know, like for example, if somebody's doing their spark plugs, the intake manifolds are plastic. And if you crack the plastic, now you need to buy a manifold. Or if something drops into one of those plenum, you know, once you expose the engine, open the engine, there's lots of places for things to fall into. And if you don't realize or see that, you can literally ruin the engine. So you need to be very careful. The spark plug itself, you know, there's a ceramic tip on that spark plug. If that were to crack and fall into that the hole where the spark plug threads in, that's inside the engine. The engine can't have that in there, and it's almost near impossible to get all that out of there. So, you know, what we do, there's process and procedures, but also we, you know, if we're taking something apart and we have the engine exposed, oftentimes it's going to be exposed for a while. We'll cover it up because we don't know either, and we don't want to have somebody's vehicle apart and have a screw or a washer or something fall somewhere where it shouldn't. And if that does happen, it can be catastrophic. So, you have to be very careful. And back to the tools, you know, our mechanics technicians have these toolboxes with every kind of tool you can think of. So they have the right tool for the job, not one that's good enough. They have the right one. And that can be a big difference where you end up stripping something or breaking something because you have the wrong tool. And then you just, once again, create more problems for yourself. And, you know, cars have changed so much. And, you know, there's a lot more plastic. So, you know, it's a lot more brittle. So you have to be very careful. And, you know, once again, if you have the tooling, you have the knowledge or the resources to get the correct knowledge, I think it's great that people try to fix a lot of their own things. But if you don't have those things or that capability, you should really pause and ask for help.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, or maybe not, of course, not at Lloyd's, but something drop where it shouldn't drop, some foreign object like a bolt, a screw or something?
Oh, absolutely. And then you end up having to remove the cylinder head to gain access. And, you know, the job went from, oh, not so bad to like, you know, it's 2 days worth of work. So we've, you know, like, so we learn, you know, and this is what we do every day. And we do make mistakes. You know, we're just, you know, a bunch of people trying to fix cars and we don't know everything and don't get it right 100% of the time. But we've learned to take steps that minimize those issues.
All right, I tell you what, let's do this. We're getting more input from our listeners. If you have any kind of a car care question, maybe something you always wanted to ask a mechanic, call us or text us. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. 651-461-9226. That's for either a phone call or a text. We're going to take a quick break and be back on the other side with Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive and your questions. Hey, we've turned to 50 degrees now in the Twin Cities. We are on our way to near 68 with sunshine on this holiday weekend. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you on this holiday.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Holiday weekend, Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you might have at 651-461-9226. We're going to get back to the phone calls. Bruce is standing by. I wanted to ask you, though, first, Nick, for folks that do need some assistance from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Yes, if you have a question or need some advice before you take your car in, you can always ask us. We'll help you. 651-228-1316. And, you know, the week's looking good, so if you're on Grand, get in a bite to eat or out shopping, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. And finally, all that information and much more on our website, lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll ask you to give us that information before you leave us at around 7:45 or so this morning. In the meantime, our number, 651-461-9226. That's good for either a phone call or a text for Nick. Speaking of phone calls, Bruce has been hanging on there, calling in from Bloomington this morning. Thanks for waiting, Bruce. What is your question for Nick?
Well, good morning, Nick and Denny. See, Nick, I've had a problem with losing air in my tires. The car is in a 2011 Hyundai Genesis Coupe. I've had it into my mechanic, and I also brought it to one of the major tire dealers, and I had them check the tires. I'm assuming it's losing air with these aluminum rims. And nobody can find a problem with the tires, but yet it seems like every, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, I have to put in about, you know, 5 or 10 pounds of air in these tires. And it's especially a problem during the winter when it's cold. What would you do to solve the problem?
Well, I guess the first thing we need to determine is where is the leak. So oftentimes we'll remove the wheel from the vehicle, you know, soapy water, you know, spray it all over the surface of the tire, look for the bubbles. Same thing goes for the where the rubber and the aluminum wheel come together, that bead, which you alluded to, might have some corrosion. So if we soap it up or water it up and find that's bubbling up from there, at that point you're going to remove the tire from the wheel. You got to clean that surface. If there is some corrosion, you try to get that corrosion cleaned up the best you can, put some sealant on it and reinstall the tire. You know, that should work. But the hard part is that corrosion continues. So you can seal them up, but you might find that the leak reoccurs or they continue to leak after a period of time. So it can be frustrating. You know, we've done with it over the years, you know, with our climate and the winter and the salt in the roads, that we'll find that those aluminum wheels will corrode. So I think you just need to go back to them, have them identify where the leak is, you know, take it slow. Once they know the spot, mark it on the wheel and the tire, disassemble, look at that area and try to figure out what's going on. And hopefully they can seal that up and get it, you know, get it fixed for you.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Boy, that's got to be frustrating. That many, you know, one is one thing. But let's see, before we grab some text messages, Hillary from Springfield, Minnesota, calling in. Hillary, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning. I have two questions. Number one, what is the normal draw on the battery when everything is turned off, the switch is turned off? Is it in milliamps? Number two, can you tow an electric car if you run out of juice, let's say, on highway? Can you tow an electric car? Number two, what is the normal draw in milliamps when the switch is turned off? Because I have one car that draws down my battery in about 10 days.
Well, I'd like to see it less than 50 milliamps. Each car is going to be a little bit different. Each manufacturer is a little different. It depends the timing out period. There's a lot of modules and different things that might stay on a little bit longer. 10 days is definitely too strong. So if you're up over 100 milliamps or at a quarter of an amp, there's something happening there. You know, you have to go to the fuse box, look at each individual circuit, try to determine which circuit that draw drain is on. Once you know the circuit, now you have to figure out what's on that, you know, on that fuse, and then try to, you know, kind of go backwards from there. And that's a great question about pulling or pushing an electric car. There must be a way. I don't know. I mean, they're all a little bit different. You know, same, you know, goes for a lot of the conventional vehicles these days. When you lose all the power, even electrical power, how do you get it into neutral? And, you know, there's some tricks to most of them. But I'm sure if you look in the manual, it's going to describe and explain how to properly push or tow that vehicle. So I would advise to look at that before I do it. We don't want to damage anything. and then just to cover that again, I'd say less than 50 milliamps would be the goal. I think most vehicles will time out, you know, after a period of time to lower than that.
And that's an interesting question about towing an electric vehicle. And I'm thinking, as you know, Nick, we have very smart listeners here on CCO. And if someone has had to do that very thing, send us a text. Let us know if it's just done normally or how it was done. I'd like to know that myself. Thanks for the call. 651-461-9226. Tell you what, let's do this. I know folks want to hear about this holiday weekend weather and this coming week as well. Let's do this. We'll take a break for the forecast. And keep in mind that Nick will be with us for just about another 12, 13 minutes or so from right now. Any kind of a car question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We're around every Saturday in the right after that 7 o'clock news break. Hope you can join us from time to time if you can. Nick, I'm looking at some text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave today. Good morning, gentlemen. Texter says, I have a 2013 Dodge Grand Caravan with a P480 code, which says fan one troubles. The dealer says it's a main power supply bus module. I guess the question is, can I bypass that and have the fan run all the time without creating a problem? That comes from Rick.
No, that happens on those. There's a few of those generation of vehicles where that tippet module goes bad. It does need to be replaced. Don't hold me to this, but I feel like it's kind of like your warning. I think more can happen, might even leave you stranded. Probably something you cannot do yourself, because also I believe it does need to be programmed. So I would probably follow their recommendation, get it replaced, have it programmed. I know the car's got a few years on it, but it's probably worth the investment because it'll go a lot longer.
Yeah, very good. A listener wants to know, just generally speaking, and I'm sure you could think of a few things, what would make an engine overheat?
Well, my favorite word would be lack of maintenance. The first thing, if it's not being cooled, so if the cooling fans are not cycling as they should, you know, keeping the fan, keeping the air going by the engine to cool it down, the cooling fans also pull air through the radiator. So if the radiator is somehow restricted, you know, we get that time of the year, we get a lot of cottonwood and things that might plug up and prevent airflow. Obviously, that's the external things. On the internal, the water pump. If the water pump's not circulating the coolant, or if it's leaking, or if there's any kind of leak and it's low on coolant, and then finally the thermostat. If that thermostat's not open and closing as designed, it can allow the vehicle, one, not heat up properly, or overheat if it's not opening when it should. So there's a whole variety of things internally, externally, that can cause a vehicle to overheat. Keep in mind, if your car does overheat, once or twice, you know, it's not horrible, but eventually you're going to warp some stuff and maybe potentially create permanent damage. So it's not something you can ignore for sure. If you're on the road trying to get someplace safe, by all means, don't stop in harm's way. But you can't ignore a vehicle that overheats, because it will eventually ruin the engine.
Yeah. Speaking of overheating, I'm thinking from time to time we talk about servicing the radio, the whole cooling system, having it flushed and all that stuff. What after you have that done and you put all new things in, new stuff in, new fluid in, what comprises the fluid? Is it antifreeze only, or is it a ratio of antifreeze, distilled water? What's used these days?
It's still a mixture. Now, the manufacturers, most have their own variety or version of the coolant. You know, a lot of times there's different colors, there's different additive packages. There are some global products out there that, you know, you can use to top things off. But if you're doing a major repair or a complete cooling system service, we're going to want to use whatever the fluid was recommended or came out of the vehicle. So fortunate enough, we have about a dozen different coolants, like many other fluids these days, at the shop. So we have the right fluid for the job. So if you're doing your own work, if you need to top it off, you go to the parts store, they might have the exact fluid, or they might have a global fluid, which is kind of a universal. And I don't see a problem using a universal one to top things off. So if that's the situation, by all means, if you're doing a complete repair, I'd probably find the exact original equipment fluid and use that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Always makes sense. Hi, Denny and Nick. Texter says, I have a 2014 Ford F-150 and I need to replace a wiper assembly. What's the best way? That comes from Don. What is Don asking? The wiper. It's not obviously just a blade. What is he talking about?
Well, if he's talking about the linkage that operates the wipers, that's under that cowling. And this kind of goes with my common theme here. You know, there's a lot of plastic you need to remove. Sometimes those wiper arms are not easy to get off of the wiper transmission, as we call it. You know, it's out there and exposed to all the elements and climate that they might get corroded in there. So you have to be very careful when you're removing so you don't damage them. And also you need to be very careful because those wiper blades and wiper arms are sitting on the windshield, which we don't want to crack. So if you have, as I always say, if you have the right tooling or the resources, by all means, you can pull those wiper arms off. At that point, you pull the plastic cowling up. Now you can see that linkage or assembly is exposed to you, and then you can, you know, remove the nuts and bolts. You know, maybe take a picture of it so you can see what sequence it all is in. So when you put it back together, you can follow that. But be very careful not to crack the plastic or crack your windshield, because those can be very costly also. So take your time. Make sure you have the right tools. Ask a lot of questions.
Listener wants to know, and I think we have time for maybe one more, maybe two, about fuel pumps, thinking about a fuel pump needing service. And I says, not like the old days. Generally speaking, where are fuel pumps located in vehicles these days?
So, you know, a fuel pump going back, you know, many years ago was mounted on the engine, and mechanically from the camshaft or crankshaft, there was a rod that would pump the mechanism and give us fuel pressure. It would siphon from the fuel tank up to the engine. Then we had a electric pump that was mounted inside the tank itself, which we still do for the most part, but now with different fuel injection systems called direct injection, we now have a high pressure pump mounted on the engine also. So many vehicles will actually have two fuel pumps, one that's kind of a primary feed one from the tank, and then there might be a secondary one on the engine itself. You know, they're both very reliable, which is kind of, this is the funny part. We don't really have fuel filters anymore. There's a screen on the one in the tank that kind of prevents any of the sediment getting up into it. But we used to have a fuel filter that we would replace every X number of miles. But, you know, cars aren't equipped with those anymore. So it's funny how technology changes and times change. And, you know, it seems to be for the better, because to be honest with you, we don't do many fuel pumps like we used to. So I think whatever they have going seems to be working.
I remember Lloyd's Automotive working on my wife's SUV, the old Explorer, for years, 20-some years. And that had the fuel filter in the gas tank. And I remember she was out of town and it needed a repair. But getting back to that, if you still have a vehicle with that, and is it good advice to keep that tank filled or at least half filled? What was the deal with that theory?
Well, if the vehicle is equipped with a fuel pump in the tank, like I said, which most are, the fuel, the gasoline actually works as a lubricant and a coolant. You know, it's an electric pump in there, and it's generating heat. So if you're always running on an eighth of a tank, that pump is working a little bit harder, which can shorten its life. Now, if you keep the tank full, which costs just as much to have a full tank as an empty tank, as they say. So I would tell you, try to keep a half a tank, especially winter months. If you're out on the road, you get stuck or stranded, you have something to keep you warm, keep the car running. But, you know, I would say I would always have a full tank if all possible.
Okay. I tell you what, I think that's going to probably do it here. I'm looking at the clock, and we have to take care of some business before Ted Farrell steps in here. But, Nick, I hope you and your family and all the good folks at Lloyd's have a safe holiday weekend. And tell us how we find Lloyd's again, if you would.
Yes, so if you have any questions or need some advice, always, you know, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And like the forecast looks nice this next week, so if you're out and about, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And then all that information and more at our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yes, indeed. We'll do that, as we always do. And Nick, be safe, and let's talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
You bet. Thank you. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Great place, great guys.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.